Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
B-O-L-D goal!
This is Triple M Summer Session.
Yeah, it's the game that keeps on giving over summer. NRL has been plenty on, but of course we're back to business next week with All Stars. Right now it's the NRL Summer Session thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, 1-800-848-848. Maroon is my name. My very, very good friend James Triceps Hooper joins me. Hello, mate.
Afternoon, Anthony, the Redfern Rocket. Good to see good people. And you know the football season is only just around the corner when you got a little fracas, little flares up at training.
Yeah.
The Tigers were at each other last week. They've been up at Tamworth this week, just finished. And, of course, a little bit argy-bargy as well between Trent Barrett, the new Bulldogs coach, and Ivan Cleary, the Panthers coach, where Baz was obviously an assistant there last year and previously and played a huge role in getting them into that grand final last season.
Yeah, I want to have a good chat about that because I feel like they've been down that road before, Baz and Ivan Cleary.
They have, Anthony. Back in 2015, Baz was the assistant and he signed to go to the Manly Seagulls. Mm. And it finished the same way that your tenure at Vega FM did. He got shown the door, put on gardening leave, couple of cab charges.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Well, let me just be clear. When I got shown the door from there, it was the greatest day of my life. Now, I wondered about you. I was out at Mounties there doing a Super Bowl function. I thought, I wonder if you're down at the casino, watching it in the 24/7 sports bar, speaking Swahili.
I would have loved to have been speaking Swahili, all up German, all up Japanese, all up double Dutch, but unfortunately, I was in at Fox Sports headquarters and just watching it on the televisions in there. Geez, I tell you what, it was a cracking contest. I spoke to a few retired NRL players on the day. Lukey the Groover Lewis was one of them. Big Tom Brady fan, loves him. And so the Groover, I think he's still got his first $10 note that he earned from his first contract framed at home.
Yeah.
But he did speculate a little bit to accumulate some money, of course, gamble responsibly, kids, on Tom Brady to be the MVP and also on the Buccaneers to win the game. So congrats to the Groove. He was celebrating. But what a player, Tom Brady. What an athlete. Like, to win 7 Super Bowls and to switch clubs the way that he did from being with the New England Patriots, so much success there, and then to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who nobody gave a snowflake's chance in hell of doing anything this year, and he took his old mate Rob Gronkowski. It was like you in the old days, some of those celebrations. I don't know what harbour they were on, but they were throwing that $3 million Lombardi trophy. It was like you back at the front of Sugar Reef, cutting shapes, the eyebrows, blowing bubbles.
I think you might find it was Tampa Bay. Hoops.
Was it? Is that where the celebrations were in the hometown? Yeah, tell you what, you would have liked to be a part of that party.
Not to go on about Super Bowl forever, but you'd think
you love it, Anthony.
This is a player that genuinely creates interest in that sport for people who have no interest in it.
Yeah, oh, look, there's got to be an argument that he's the greatest NFL player of all time. And they've seen many, many superstars over the years in that code. One of the greatest athletes on the planet of all time. To be able to achieve what he has, the fact that when he started off, I think he was like the 189th or 199th draft pick. Nobody had any interest in him. I see where one of his teammates rocked up with a t-shirt of him from 20 years ago where he basically looked like a spindly dog. Who probably got bashed up for his lunch money at high school. But yeah, just a superstar, clearly an extremely intelligent player. And I love the old analogy about styles making fights when you talk about boxing and the diversity and the different styles of play between Brady and Mahomes, who was obviously the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. He came up with some epic plays. They were incompletes, but some of the passes he threw towards the end there trying to get his side going were absolutely first class. And look, it was just a cracking contest, epic game, and what a victory for the Buccaneers.
And I saw Mahomes on the news with his mother. What a lovely family. I'm just wondering if you ever got beat up for your lunch money at school when you're a little fat kid. Hey, for your paddle pop money.
Yeah, I used to get touched up a little bit for the chocolate paddle pop money. Why am I not surprised that you noticed Patrick Mahomes' mum? Mm. And did you know that Patrick Mahomes, his old man, was actually a famous baseballer?
Yeah, I didn't
major
know that,
league
no.
baseball mm. player. Right. So Mrs. Mahomes has been around professional sport for a long time, and I noticed where she took to social media. It was like some of the campaigns that you've run in that domain, blowing up about the fact that the referee hadn't been fair. And she took a shot at Giselle. I don't know how you say Giselle's last name. Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Listen to the timber in that pronunciation. You've been in the timber mill this week, haven't you?
Yeah. Doing my voice exercises. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
Too good. So, yeah, look, all in all, epic contest. What a result. Tom Brady, absolute freak. And tremendous sporting narrative to start the week, Anthony.
Well, you wouldn't believe it. I've just got a text message through from Lee Hadjipantelis of Brydens.
Yes.
He says, I don't pay you two palookas to talk about NFL, so can you please get on with it? So why don't
well
we do
said,
that?
Lee.
We'll come back. We'll talk about Andrew McCulloch. We'll talk about the Dragons in general, the Broncos, what this means losing Andrew McCulloch. And our special guest today is Jason Taumalolo. As well as all that, we're going to talk about Flano, the Tigers scuffle. MG might have a little bit of inside information about Cam Smith. That's all coming up on the Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brydens Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session is thanks to Brydens Lawyers. Let's get the show underway today with a little bit of news. And this stuff is hot off the press. Hoops.
It is, Anthony, and a real shame for St. George Illawarra and their champion captain, Cameron McInnes. Of course, we know he signed that four-year deal with the Sharks, and he'll be heading to the black, white and blue side in the Shire for next season. But for the remainder of this year, it looks as though he's gone. Gone for the season.
What's
happened? Did his ACL training at Wollongong, routine training session at Wollongong yesterday. And it really is horrendous luck for the Dragons and especially for Cam McInnes, because I know what a popular member of that group he is. You know, he cracked it into the New South Wales State of Origin side last year in that Blues 27-man squad. He was hugely popular in amongst that element of the game as well. And, you know, genuinely sorry. He'll be back, but we won't see him in a red V jumper again. Next time we see him, he'll be wearing the black, white and blue at Cronulla.
So what the poor old Dragons, mate. It's like the game's kicked off and they've kicked it straight over the sideline. They've now lost McInnes, you're saying, for the season. Andrew McCulloch coming in. They had that mess with Israel Folau.
Yeah.
So obviously now Cam will just sit on the sideline and watch the Dragons play. He won't be going to Cronulla.
Nah. The one thing that's fortuitous is they did manage to finally secure the hooker that they'd been chasing for most of the off-season, Andrew McCulloch. Mm. So the Broncos have obviously agreed to release Andrew McCulloch. He has now joined the Dragons on a two-year deal. He'll be their primary dummy half. But, I mean, Cameron McInnes was going to play 13. He is also a brilliant foil in terms of if you wanted to give Andrew McCulloch a little freshen up, a little breather, McInnes is more than an able deputy. So it's a real blow for the Dragons. And, yeah, to borrow your analogy, Anthony, I reckon Anthony Griffin is just wondering how many mirrors he's broken, given the fact that it's the equivalent of kicking off and the ball just sails straight over the dead ball.
Okay, and Andrew McCulloch now into his 30s years old. We saw him sustain a pretty nasty injury last year at the Newcastle Knights. There's got to be a level of risk with the Dragons and Andrew McCulloch.
Definitely. I think it's a huge gamble. The fact that he's coming off tearing his hamstring off the bone. I mean, mate, you know what that's like, Maroon. I'm pretty sure you did one of those at Studi Baker's back in the old days.
I did, yeah.
When you used
trying to do the nut bush, I was.
Yeah, I thought it was the Village People, but that's all good. A massive gamble, like to sign him. Now that they've lost Cameron McInnes, it does change context a little bit. But irrespective, I think Anthony Griffin is hitching his third coming as an NRL head coach. We've seen him have a crack at the Broncos. We've seen him get a go at Penrith. Now here he is, his third opportunity at the Red V St. George Illawarra Dragons. He's essentially gambling on the fact that Andrew McCulloch is going to strike up this combination and unlock Ben Hunt and Corey Norman, and they all used to play together at the under-20s in Brisbane, and Anthony Griffin was the coach then, and he guided them into the grand final. They didn't win the premiership, But that's basically what this roll of the dice is all about. I think Anthony Griffin believes that the style of football Andrew McCulloch plays at a dummy half will best suit Ben Hunt. By all reports, the Dragons want to play a lot more flat and fast, not as structured. Last few seasons, it's been block play, set piece, you know, very predictable. I think they want to try and play a little bit more off the cuff. What's in front of them.
And some of these blokes on big money have just got to pull their finger out at the Dragons.
Like who? Come on, name names.
What about Corey Norman?
Well, he's due. He's massively due.
He's absolutely due.
He's been due for the last couple of seasons.
The thing that gets me is we both know Wollongong well enough as a city.
Yep.
The South Coast, the Illawarra. It's rugby league heartland.
It is.
That many wonderful players come out of that part of the world. Why is a team like the St. George Illawarra Dragons needing to go and get a 32-year-old, no disrespect to Andrew McCulloch, why have they got to bring in all these outsiders? Do you know how many wonderful players are bred in the Illawarra?
Well, I mean, you've only got to look at Sean Timmins, Matt Cooper, Jason Rolls, Luke Bailey, all those genius players.
The Stewart boys.
When Nathan Brown was the coach back there in the early 2000s.
The Morris boys.
Yeah. Yeah, the Morris
boys. The Sims boys.
Yep. Yeah, you can go on, Anthony.
Yes.
You can go on. Actually, speaking of going on, are you still on the side of some of those taxis? Are those commercials still running down in Wollongong?
No, they took the taxis, the Maroon and Millie taxis away in 1997. However, I do believe if you drive up Fig Tree, there's still a bus side that they haven't replaced.
Is there?
There's still a bus stop side.
Yeah, apparently one of the cabs might be in a museum too.
Well, that's exactly right. It was like an AU Falcon or something. It was quite a while back.
It's in Ripley's, believe it or not. Now, on a serious note, the Dragons have taken a huge risk here. But in fairness to Anthony Griffin, when he was signed, he was given a mandate to shake the joint up, to do what was necessary, to take an axe to the roster, if need be, with a view to fixing the fact that they run 15th in 2019, 12th last season. They haven't had any success for a long time. So Anthony Griffin was given the blueprint to go in, do what needs to be done to shake the joint up. One of his first ports of call was a bit of a rash shot in going after Israel Folau. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but given the fact Israel Folau's advisor and Anthony Griffin's advisor is the great Wayne Wally Beavis, then you can see how those dots fitted together. But the McCulloch call is a big call, and we'll wait and see how they go once they're out in the field.
Do you think, Hoops, they need to look more long-term, the Dragons, say, okay, we've got this nursery. Let's try. I know that Gus Gould and Hook aren't going to work together, but we've got this nursery. Let's harvest it over the next 3 or 4, 5, 6 years. And long-term, let's have this production line of great players.
Yeah, well, hang on. I'll pull you up there, Maroon, because if you look at their roster, Zach Lomax, Jackson Ford, they've just lost Jason Saab. He ended up going to the Manly Seagulls. But they're doing a decent job at identifying all their best local juniors. They are bringing Blake Laurie's another one, Blocker Laurie. They are bringing some damn good young gun players through. Our friend, a very good friend of the program, the great Sean Timmins. Mm. Are you still doing Red Rocket Radio with him down in
Red V Radio? No.
It's finished. No. But Timo's heavily involved now in identifying the best junior talent in terms of the Dragons pathways. Ian Millwood is also the Dragons director of recruitment and pathways. I think the Dragons have got a decent roster, but right now the bloke who is calling the shots and getting what he wants, with the exception of Israel Folau, is Anthony Griffin. He wanted Andrew McCulloch. He made the decision to pay Cameron McInnes at lock. That now won't be happening because the poor bugger's done his ACL. We wish him all the best for his recovery. But the Dragons, I said it the other week, I reckon it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Okay. Hot off the press, the Bulldogs have a new CEO.
They do. I believe he's a friend of yours.
He is.
Aaron Warburton is his name. He used to work at the Bulldogs previously in the commercial department. By all reports, a smart play from the Dogs to appoint Aaron. He's been out at Belmore. He knows how the club all fits together. And, yeah, he'll do a damn good job. I think primarily he'll be tasked with getting the commercial side of the company in order. And then they can leave the likes of Trent Barrett, Dave Ferner, those types of people to organise the football department.
Yeah, well, Aaron Warburton's been associated with the Dogs. He's been employed there, and he's also worked there as a consultant. I know Azza pretty well. And he is very responsible for dealing with some of their major clients that he brings on board. So he is a good Doggies man, and I think that's a good appointment.
I think it's a good appointment. I think also the fact that they brought the Laundy Hotel group and family into the club at the back end of last season. People have suggested that they didn't tip enough in terms of as major sponsors, but I disagree. I think to have the support of a family like that with the clout that they've got and the reach that they have, and you've only got to look at Matt Burton. Arthur Laundy, the hotel baron, went and personally visited Matt Burton's family in Dubbo and played a major role in convincing him to sign with the Blue and White. So I think there's good things in saw around the corner for the Bulldogs. They're not far away.
Yeah, and no doubt Arthur would have been in Dubbo. If he didn't have a pub there, he would have bought a pub while he was there.
He might have on the way through, yeah.
Steak Diane and a lemon squash.
On the way back out, yeah.
What's your favourite Laundy pub?
Geez, there. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them. I'll tell you what I like. Mm. I like the old school knockabout Bell's Hotel down at Woolloomooloo.
Yeah.
They tried
to
buy
Laundy?
It. No, no. I think Singo. I think Singo might. Oh no, actually, I think they did end up buying it. Yeah, they were in some sort of arm wrestle. They didn't realise with Singo to get a hold of it, and I believe that ultimately the Laundies were successful. They got the Woolloomooloo Bay opposite that as well. That's not a bad joint. But I'll take your pick. They got 100,000 of them all over the place. Bass Hills headquarters. That's the first one that they had. You go out there now, they've still got great photos from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Jeff Robinson, Turvey Mortimer, Bar Lamb, Cement Gillespie. They're all on the walls out there. If those walls could talk, I tell you what, they'd have some stories from 1984 and 1985 when they went back to back.
Good to have good people like that involved in the game. They've had success that they've made themselves, and they can pass it on to young players in rugby league.
You want more people like that involved in the game. And on Arthur, like he's involved with other players as well in the game, not specifically just at Canterbury Bankstown either. He mentors a number of other NRL players and does a damn good job. You know what, Anthony? I might even see if he's available. Perhaps he could give you a little bit of mentoring.
We'll take a break. We've got more to come on the Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session. It's Maroon. It's James Triceps Hooper. Cowboys fans, and oh, there's a plenty of them around Sydney too. We'll be joined by Jason Taumalolo a little bit later on to talk about their wretched last three seasons. But right now this.
On Triple M Summer Session. This is. What does the fuck say?
Yes, James Triceps Hooper, he spends all week at Fox League just gossiping around with the rest of the old ladies, and then he gathers up some information and he comes in here and tells us what's going on around town. I want to start with this one if I could. It's a little bit lighthearted, I think. The West Tigers, Jacob Little and Luciano Leilua, did they come to fisticuffs?
I wouldn't describe it as fisticuffs, but certainly there was a fracas at training. There was a bit of a heated exchange. Firstly, before we get into that, Anthony, I just want to say, you mentioned Fox League and over the course of the week, what we both engage in. But I have been inundated this week from people around the game of rugby league about this new segment. And I must say, I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I am feeling a lot of heat. I feel under duress. I feel as though, you know, essentially I have got a shotgun at the temple at the moment because this new segment, Maroon Confidential, that has taken off around town, social media is going burko. They want to know where you're getting all your intel from.
Yeah, well,
I've been asked, am I legging you up into things that perhaps are a little bit too close to the bone, which for the record, we just want to clarify, is not happening.
No. Nah.
This new segment for the King of Cash, it's flying.
It's coming up a little bit later on, Maroon Confidential. I have been out and about. I have, you know, my man, Victor the Vessel Vassilis, going up and down Redfern Street, the Vessel, getting all the information out of Redfern that he can, rugby league. I've been doing East Gardens, Bondi Beach. I just need to find myself an agent out west. But Maroon Confidential is back today. And I tell you what, there's going to be some big names around some big people. But right now, what is going on with what does the Fox say?
Well, at Concord this week, earlier this week, there was a little set to. It was between Luciano Leilua and Jacob Little. Look, the Tigers are really happy about this. The Tigers are wrapped because young Jacob Little will get first crack at the number nine jumper now that Harry Grant has departed. And Luciano Leilua, for whatever reason this day, was just a little bit unhinged. And, I mean, he's an aggressive style of player. That's one of the best elements of the style of game that he brings to the table, but he blew up at Jacob unnecessarily. And I know that the Tigers were really happy at the way that Jacob stood his ground, didn't take a backward step. And it's a little bit heavyweight against bantamweight between, you know, Luciano's well over 100 kilos, and Jacob would only be just nudging 90, if that. So the Tigers were really happy with Little's response. And I think these sorts of incidents flare up at every single training session over the summer at every single club. It shows that you care. From a coach's point of view, you want to see that players are invested and that players have got the eye on the calendar and ready for round one. And to me, that's what this little flare-up showed. And then the Tigers went to Tamworth earlier this week as well, and caught up with a few of your old contacts at the Long Yard Hotel, did some line dancing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Caught up with Daphne, who's a lady I know up there from when I was at Inverell. Yeah.
Okay.
She works at that particular establishment.
Oh, does she?
Been there for 25 years.
Was she the president of the Country Women's Association?
She was out there for a long time, but she got barred.
Okay.
Yeah, she got barred. She wanted, every Friday, she didn't want to do a cake store. She wanted to tap a keg. So I said, that's got to stop.
There's been some talk that you were getting some of your mail for Maroon Confidential from Daphne. She was getting out of some sewing circles up there.
I wanted to mention, though, before we moved on, as our friend Lee Hadjipantelis, who is the chairman of the West Tigers, is he not?
Yes.
When he was growing up, his father had a fish and chip shop. And if
I think it was at Edelong, wasn't it, on the Central Coast?
That's exactly right, up in the Central Coast. And if he gave his old man any lip, the old man would take the shoe off and throw it at him. And Lee has told Jacob Little and Luciano, if this happens again, off comes the Julius Marlowe.
He's a good man, Lee. He's a very good man.
Now, what is the latest with Matt Burton? Is he going to play at Penrith this year?
I think he'll be at the Bulldogs at some point. Right. I don't know exactly when that will be. So as soon as it gets to the stage, Maroon, where you start to talk about possible player swaps, and you know, we've seen it with the Dragons and the Broncos around Andrew McCulloch. We've seen it at the West Tigers and Penrith around Dane Laurie. So that was a protracted negotiation. But eventually they struck a price. They found some middle ground. Paul Momorowski went to the Panthers and Dane Laurie joins the Tigers. So with Penrith and the Bulldogs at the moment, bit of a Mexican standoff. Mm. Obviously, Trent Barrett and Ivan Cleary have got a lot of history together. They've worked alongside one another a couple of different occasions over many years. And I know Ivan did pick the phone up earlier this week when the story became big in the papers and just said, Baz, it wasn't a blow up, but it was a, can you back off a little bit, please?
Yeah.
And my understanding is, I reckon Trent would have said words to the effect of, look, I'm at Canterbury Bankstown now, and this has got to be my priority. They obviously have huge hopes for Matt Burton at the Bulldogs. Like, they think that he's an absolute walk-up, lay-down Mazaire to be their starting number six. I'd love to see him paired with Kyle Flanagan, who we've obviously seen some really good things from at the Sharks and also at the Roosters over the last couple of seasons. Didn't end all that happily for Kyle at the Chooks, but he's got a fresh opportunity at the Dogs. And I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when Matt Burton will be at the Bulldogs this year.
This is the interesting thing here, Hoops. We went down this road with Trent Barrett and Ivan Cleary when Trent was heading to Manly.
Yeah.
Now, there was an issue with whether or not Baz was taking Penrith players with him to Manly. So Trent and Ivan parted company then. And as they like to say, it's deja vu all over again.
I think it's a little bit different in that back when Trent initially signed with the Seagulls, Penrith got wind of the fact that I think Penrith didn't get wind of it. They just suspected that, hang on a minute, he's now got a vested interest in coaching another side as a head coach next year. And we've got the biggest junior nursery in the world. It's human nature that, you know, he's a chance of trying to pick the eyes out of this, of our setup. So they jumped straight in and just put Trent on gardening leave. So he was no longer, his pass didn't work when he rocked up at work that day. And it was pack your things, as we've all done.
We've been there.
In the basket with the manila folder with the in tray and the out tray and off your toddle. don't let the revolving door hit you on the way out. So that was back in 2015. This time around, I think they basically agreed that the Panthers were going too well last year. They didn't need any distractions. And Baz had been a huge part of that. So it would have been unfair if they said to him, right, now that you've got the Bulldogs gig, you're out of here. So he stayed. But since he has departed, yes, you know, the Panthers have had to put up with the Bulldogs trying to sign a few of their players. In fairness, the Bulldogs were after Matt Burton before they signed Trent Barrett. And the Panthers know that.
Mm.
So that one was fair and square. I think it's similar with Spencer Lemieux, who ended up staying at Penrith, but the Bulldogs had a red hot crack at him as well. So I noticed Ivan was in the papers earlier this week suggesting a transfer window because the Panthers have lost. They've had a big turnover over the summer. Like Zane Tedovano was under contract. They've let him go. Josh Mansour was under contract. He's now at your Bunnies. Dane Laurie's was under contract. He's gone to the West Tigers in that swap with Momorowski. So there's been a lot happening for Penrith. I know at the moment they're still in the market trying to find some front rowers because they have had their depth tested in that department.
Well, we're going to talk about Penrith because they're one of our players we're going to look put under the spotlight today. Losses and gains, Penrith
clubs.
And the Roosters. What did I say?
Players. They're clubs. One of our clubs
exactly.
In the but spotlight. Are they going up on the hoist?
They're going up on the hoist today.
Well, can we get a Camaro update
yes,
on the hoist?
Yes, the Camaro is, thank you for asking, 1 month. And 1 week away till we get the Mustang beater back on the road. The Mustang beater, yes.
Well, you know what we should set up this year? Because I know you like putting the slipper into Mustangs because our great mate Paul Kent obviously has a Mustang. Why don't we set up a little drag race out at Eastern Creek or somewhere?
Do you
think Camaro v. the Mustang.
Car lovers, a Mustang's not going to keep up with the Camaro, is it? My thing...
What's got bigger killer?
Mine will blow the doors off. And I drive like Steve McQueen as well. So you tell...
Is that why it's up on the hoist?
You tell Paul Kent, if he wants to have a crack at me...
I think he might want to have a crack at you about that Maroon Confidential stuff from a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That cockatoo allegation.
Well... Tell him to speak to my lawyers, and you know who they are.
Brighton's.
Look, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about one of our clubs in focus. Coming up shortly, we will do the Melbourne Storm and be joined by Jason Taumalolo right here on the Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
This is Triple M's NRL Summer Session. It's thanks to our friends at Brighton's Lawyers. Yeah, you can give them a call anytime. 1-800-848-848 or go to the website brightons.com.au because hoops they commit, protect and...
succeed, Anthony.
Giddy up they do. Let's go live now to the beautiful city of Townsville where the meter eater is on the phone to talk to us. Jason Taumalolo, welcome to the Summer Session.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, mate, before we rip into you, congratulations, because I think you're not far off racking up 200.
lucky enough to be playing NRL, let alone rack up almost 200 games. So, yeah, it's good.
Congratulations, mate. It's a huge milestone. You've been one of the best forwards in the game, in my opinion, for many years now. But I guess the big change over the course of the summer for the Cowboys has been the introduction of your new coach, Toddy Payton. Give us an insight. How's that been? What's the new regime like with Toddy at the helm?
Toddy's come in and obviously a fresh start for a lot of players here, especially myself. Being here for a while and coming in with fresh ideas on how we want to play and being a Cowboy up here, he's changed the outlook of it. So Toddy's come in, laid down a few rules that boys have been keeping a high standard of. So, Toddy's, obviously surprised a lot of players with the way he wants to play and what his ideas are. And, we'll obviously get to see that later on this year. But, I think Toddy's enjoying it. The boys are enjoying having Toddy here as a coach. So, hopefully it's, it's a positive start to the year.
Just on what you said there in terms of he's surprised a lot of the players with the way that he wants to play. What are you looking at, a little bit flatter and faster and some more ad-lib and second phase off the cuff? Or give us a bit of an insight.
Yeah, obviously that we didn't really adapt well to, the new rule changes last year. And, he's obviously come out and stated that he wants us to be a faster moving team and, taking more advantage of what we see and playing, letting guys play to their natural ability, which is run first and, play to what they see. So we have a lot of great, runners in our team. We're lucky enough to have a few, Scott Drinkwater and Morgo and, everyone else. We've got a big forward pack who can roll down the middle pretty easily. So I think we're looking at a bit more to our game and a bit more passing and, you know, like a few of the other teams have adapted to over the season that just went past. So a lot more movement in our terms of the way we want to play. So, yeah.
So you given Jace, that you have in the last three seasons had more than your fair share of injuries, but still, you know, you've had a 13th, a 14th, and a 14th. It's time for some of you blokes to just start aiming up again. I'm sure the people of Townsville are saying, well, look, you blokes have just got to start just winning some games consistently.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's part of what we do for work. It's a result-driven game. You know, everyone can have a good preseason. You know, everyone says they have a good preseason, but I guess at the end of the day, it's what you do on the field on the weekend. So, you know, everything we've done so far has been great. It's been working out for us. We've been training well. But I can definitely see us improving on, obviously, the last few seasons that we've had. Hopefully, after the preseason we've had, a few more boys step up. And we're expecting them to now, you know, after three, I guess, disappointing years. So, I can't wait for the season to come around quicker. So, yeah.
Who's going to play fullback, Jason? Who'll be in the halves? Like, you've obviously got great depth there with Michael Morgan, Drinkwater. You got Jakey Clifford, and then a fullback. You obviously signed Val Holmes last season, and the Hammer is also one of my favourite players. He's been kicking down the door there as well.
Yeah, no, I guess I'd hate to be Toddy at the moment. You know, a few selection headaches, but I guess you know, I'm not too. You know, I don't have a fullback at the moment or halves pairing at the moment because I guess they've all been training well. You know, I guess they've been competing against each other in everything we do. Like every contact session we do, like you see Drinky coming up with, you know, coming out trying to put shots on, you know, on the other halves like Cliffo and Morg. So I guess the competition's very healthy in that department. And, you know, whoever gets the job, I'm sure will do a great job for us come round one.
What about for you personally? We saw a couple of the big units rumbling in the jungle last night, Junior Paulo and also Big Papa Josh Papali. They've stripped down. Like Josh Papali in the lead up to that NRL All-Stars fight night, he was tipping the scales last year at 125. I think he weighed in at 117. Junior Paulo generally played at 123 last season. He was down to 116. Have you stripped any weight in that department? And are you looking to try and play a little bit lighter with the rule adjustments? Or
Yeah. I've stripped a bit lighter than what I normally come in at. You know, obviously with the new rule changes and the way the game's going, you know, you got to, I guess, lose a few more kilos and so you're actually running well. So, yeah, the faster pace of the game is, I guess, is putting more stress on the body. And I guess with that, for us to ease our body, I guess we've got to go a bit lighter. So it's good to see you got bigger boys like Josh and Junior, you know, tipping the scales a bit lighter than usual. But, yeah, I guess that's everyone. A lot of big boys, you know, they'll be under the pressure of the fast, the game, the way the game's going, sorry, of how fast it is. And, you know, I guess it's a must for us to lose a bit of weight if we are to play the game that's going the way it's going now. So, yeah.
How much you lost? What'd you play at last year and how much you lost?
last year I was playing at around 117 and this year I've been tipping the scales around 113.
So. Okay. You're still a big unit. I'm still glad I don't have to tackle you or try and tackle you.
Probably doesn't show on the outside, but yeah. I guess it'd be, I guess time will tell when we start running during the season.
The motor might be running a bit more smoothly by the sounds of things.
I hope so.
Hey, Jace, it says a lot. This is a very positive thing going into this season for you blokes is the fact that Todd Payton knocked back the Warriors job before he knew he had this job. And I think that speaks volumes for you guys as a group and as a club that Todd Payton knocked back a job in the hope that he would get this job. And now he's got it, obviously.
Yeah, it definitely is. I guess, you know, Toddy had his mindset that he wanted this job. And I guess also with the new facilities that we have, new stadium, and I guess the probably the biggest one is the roster. We have two. We have a few big names that I think Toddy can get the best out of. You know, we can still improve, and we've got a lot of young players coming through the ranks too that can really do a job for us. So I think it was a no-brainer for Toddy, I guess, to want to come up here. But, you know, I guess that was a big gamble on his behalf. So, you know, he was very confident in wanting the Cowboys job, head job, and head coach job, sorry.
Good save. Great save.
Head coach job.
Hey, you know what Maroons, you know what Maroons wanted to ask you this whole interview? He mentioned it before, Jace. Your teeth, the gold teeth. He wants to try and get some gold teeth himself. How does he go about it, and how much folding is he going to have to unload?
I'm not sure, because I got these pretty young. So I think I got it at 12. So if you really want gold teeth these days, I think it'd cost you an arm and a leg these days. So.
Well, mate, what about this? What about if I get in the boxing ring with you and knock them out of your head, and then I'll have them?
Mate, I'll grow hair back if that happens. That is not going to happen, Anthony.
I mean, the dreams are for free, but you know, it's one thing saying it.
Good mate, on you, believe mate. Me, he will win that fight by at least 500 metres, Jace. Don't worry about that.
Hey, listen, mate, before you go, congratulations. I know you're a KO ambassador, and fans can watch every minute of the 2021 NRL Premiership live and on demand on KO. So, mate, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the Cowboys.
Thanks, guys.
Here he goes, kosports.com.au. Great to catch up with the wrecking ball. If he fires, I tell you what, 300 metres a game, if he fires, they should go all right.
Oh, he's a weapon, Maroon. I love watching him play. He really has been the best middle forward of his generation now for the last couple of seasons. He's got a Dally M medal. He obviously won a premiership with the Cowboys the year that they broke that title duck back in 2015. And, yeah, he's just a brilliant player, and I reckon he's in for a big year this season.
Okay, this is the Triple M NRL Summer Session. Thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. Back with more right after this.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.